God is good, amen? Amen? And as this song has alluded to, praise be to Jesus who overcame death, the grave, and sin. Let's pray before we go any further. Father, thank you for this opportunity that we have to worship you like this. Thank you for the songs that we have sung and lifting our voice in praise and adoration to you. Thank you for each and every one that has come. Thank you, Father, for churches that are gathering all over our region, all over America and around the globe. May your spirit have complete freedom, and may the name of Jesus be lifted up. May you be glorified, O God, in services everywhere today. May you be glorified in homes and places, hospitals, or wherever people have a chance to encounter you. May your spirit guide people unto yourself, O God. May you heal and forgive. May you set the captives free. May you encourage the downtrodden and those that are hurting. May you comfort the lonely. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you for each and every person here. I pray for them, and I pray that you just guide them in this pathway called life to a closeness to you that is real, transformational, and eternal. We do pray for every name on the prayer focus. We pray, Father, again for those that have lost loved ones recently, in the last few days, or even perhaps months ago. We pray that you would comfort them. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those that are battling this thing called cancer and loneliness and all the other issues of life. We lift them up to you and ask for your divine intervention. And Father, we pray for this grandson of Galen and Verna's who encountered a bad way the other night and was shot in the proceedings. We lift him up to you and his parents and grandparents and say, Father, thy will be done. And Lord, for those of our communities that maybe don't know you yet, we pray for them. Help their eyes to be open to Jesus. Help their ears be attentive to the Holy Spirit of God. Help them to embrace Jesus as Christ, as Lord, as Messiah, as Savior. Oh, we got a lot of questions, Lord. You know that. We'll never have all the answers, but I know the answer is Jesus, and I pray that we would embrace Jesus Christ as Lord today, if we never have. And so as we have come together, Father, as millions have around the globe to celebrate you, to celebrate your provision, to celebrate Christ, to celebrate communion, guide us by your Spirit, I pray. We want to bring you glory. We've come to worship you. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you've got your Bibles this morning, I'm going to be in Hebrews chapter 9. We're going to talk about communion a little bit. We're going to prepare for communion. And so in preparing for communion, I want us to understand it a little bit better. And so Hebrews chapter 9 is where we are going to be today. I don't have time to break the whole chapter down. It's too long and there's too much in it. But I do want to say this about the first part of the chapter, and then we will pick it up in verse 11. The first part of the chapter talks about the earthly sanctuary. And so if you've read the Old Testament, which I know most of you have, you recognize that Moses was told to construct this earthly sanctuary. Hebrews 9 talks about that. It talks about the earthly high priest. If you've read the Old Testament, you understand that once per year, the high priest of the Israelite people was instructed to go into the Holy of Holies and bring blood to atone for his own sin and the sin for the children of Israel. And so the first part of this chapter talks about the earthly sanctuary. It talks about the earthly high priest. And it also talks about the limitations of both. The limitations of that earthly sanctuary, the limitations of that high priest, and the limitations of that whole process. And so when we look at Hebrews 9 and 10, we start to see the importance of Jesus. And so we also see in the first part of that chapter how this process that they were going through, this instruction of sacrifice and blood and all that, was symbolic of a future time And it was never completely adequate. Oh, yes, it atoned. It appeased God for a time because there was blood. But it was never completely adequate. That's what brings us up to verse 11, which says, but Christ. Okay, so prior to that, we're talking about the earthly sanctuary. We're talking about the earthly high priest. We're talking about that earthly process and the limitations on all of it. And then we get to 11 that says, but Christ. Here we go. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is not of this creation. The writer of Hebrews here is talking about the comparison. The tabernacle that Moses had them construct in the wilderness, you probably read all about that, versus his earthly body. When it says here in this verse, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, the writer is talking about the body of Christ. The tabernacle, the high priest, all of the Old Testament stuff was coming up short. Enter Jesus. But Christ, and then it says in 12, when he came into the Holy of Holies, so to speak, it says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, the blood of the Son of God. For a long time, high priests had been coming into the Holy of Holies with the blood of goats in a bowl, the blood of calves in a bowl. And he would get in there and he'd have to have the blood there for his own sin as he entered into the Holy of Holies. And he would have the blood to atone for the sin of the children of Israel. But the writer is reminding us, but Christ came as our high priest. And he did not come with the blood like the other high priest did. He came with his own blood. I say hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what part of what we celebrate here when we celebrate communion is the new covenant in his blood. I think we understand that, do we not? I think we do. All right. Okay. Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? In other words, there was a time when the blood of goats, the blood of bulls, the ashes of a burnt heifer sprinkled outside the camp, that was all necessary. And if that could appease, so to speak, God for the time, if it would kind of cleanse them for the moment, the writer says, how much more shall the blood of Christ do that and more? And so he's making this comparison from the old way to Christ, who is the new covenant. Next one. Therefore, this is, I'm now in 15. And for this reason, he, that's Jesus, is the mediator of the new covenant. I think we know what mediator means, do we? Do we kind of understand what mediator means? The Greek word for mediator means go-between. In the Old Testament, the high priest went into the Holy of Holies one time per year as that connection to God, the go-between. He wasn't perfect. He wasn't completely holy. He was just the elected high priest, and he was that person that went between the children of Israel and God. The other thing that mediator means in the Greek meaning is reconciler. And so this earthly high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies once per year to reconcile the people to God. Now, when the Bible says, and for this reason he is the mediator, meaning Jesus, of the new covenant, it means once and for all there is somebody to go between us for good, for our benefit, but for long-term good, to reconcile us unto the Father for good. Verse 18, therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated with all blood. We know that. We've already talked about that. The first covenant also needed blood. For when Moses, he elaborates a little bit, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and he sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. That was the first covenant. Blood of goats, blood of bulls, sprinkle it around, sprinkle it on the book, sprinkle it on the people, sprinkle it around the altar, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and according to the law, almost all things were purified with blood. Now look at what he says here. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. We wonder about the blood sometimes when we take communion together. And perhaps if we read John 6, which is a challenging chapter, and Jesus was talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, we wonder about the blood. We're also reminded that in the Old Testament, over and over, the Israelites were told to stay away from the blood because there's life in the blood. And now all of a sudden, we see that without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Are you aware what remission means, brothers and sisters? Let me elaborate. According to the Greek meaning of the word remission, it means to pardon, among other things. And so they needed blood in the old covenant, in the old setting, to pardon. But it was always a short-time pardon, short-term pardon. Another meaning for remission is deliverance. If we're ever going to be, or the Old Testament people were ever going to be delivered from their sin, there needed to be the shedding of blood. It also means liberty. It also means forgiveness. And so for all these reasons, there needed to be the shedding of blood. And so, the writer tells us of Hebrews here, without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Now back to Christ in verse 24. For Christ has not entered a holy place made with hands. That means, again, the reference between the Old Testament and the New. The reference between the Old Covenant and the New. The Holy of Holies was made by hands, and the high priest went in there. But when Christ came on the scene, it was different. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which were copies of the true, but unto heaven itself. Christ went into heaven itself, into that holy of holies, to appear in the presence of God for us, for each of us, for me, for you, for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood for another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now the writer says, once, at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hallelujah. Okay, I make this comparison in preparation for our community, our communion service today, simply for us to be aware. There was a process in the Old Testament whereby blood appeased, but it was never satisfactory. And so God, in his grace, was willing to send us his Son. So his Son, perfect and spotless Lamb of God, would shed his blood for us once and for all. That's the comparison the writer of Hebrews makes here. The old tabernacle, the old high priest, the old process versus Jesus, the completion of that process. We know enough about the Old Testament to know about the sacrificing in the blood. I think we know enough about all that. But the writer of Hebrews is reminding us here We're still coming up short in the old process. And so we, God knew this. I don't know if the children of Israel knew this or not, but we as humanity needed a high priest that was himself without spot or wrinkle. All of the rest of them were just men. We, humanity, needed a blood sacrifice that was out spot or wrinkle to atone, to deliver, to forgive once and for all. Only Jesus could supply both. Only Jesus. And so, the Bible reminds us from Genesis to Revelation over and over, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And so that is why Jesus offered himself on the cross once and for all to save us, to redeem us from our sin, and allow us to be able to have a relationship with God. Let me close with this before we prepare for communion. You see, because of what Jesus has done on the cross, we and all the rest of humanity has this wonderful, unique, beautiful opportunity to have a relationship with God the Father. You say, Jim, I can do that any old time. According to what Jesus said, we cannot get to God the Father without God the Son. Are you still with me? Jesus is the one that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes unto the Father but through me. Jesus is the one that said in 1 John 5 and 12, he that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son doesn't have life. And so it's this act that Jesus did that allows the rest of us, humanity, to finally have a relationship with God the Father. Without Christ, we got no relationship with Him. I visited for a couple of hours with a friend of mine the other day. And he said, Jim, I've always believed in God. But I'm not sure I believe everything in the Bible. And I tried to explain and share with him a little bit. It's good to believe in God, believe me. Don't get me wrong about that. But if we as human beings want to have a relationship with the Heavenly Father, we're only going to have one by coming through Christ. We're only going to have one by surrendering completely to Christ. To say, well, I believe in God, Jim. And exclude Jesus, we're missing the relationship with the Almighty God. We can't exclude Jesus and say, I am a believer and a follower. It doesn't work that way. The equation is, according to John 1 and 12, which I shared to my good friend, he that or she, any of us, that receives Him, that's Christ, he that receives Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those that believe in His name. So there's the equation. Believe in Him, receive Him by faith, equals His child. Here's my point, friend. We've got this beautiful picture of an ugly cross and a broken body and blood all over the place. But we've got this beautiful picture of an ugly cross and an ugly scene that allows us to have a relationship with God. And without that cross, without that blood, we got no connection to God. In the Old Testament, the high priest was the connection, and that was insufficient. We now have the high priest, Jesus. We can have that connection with God the Father through Jesus. And so, as we celebrate communion here this morning, I want us to think about what happened on the cross. Because Jesus is the one that said, when you partake of these elements, He told the 12 that night, and Paul reiterated it in 1 Corinthians 11, this do in remembrance of me. We don't take communion to get to heaven. And if we think that's the way we get there, we better reevaluate what the Word of God says. I'm not diminishing it. I'm just saying, don't put your faith in having a piece of bread. We do this to remember the sacrifice of the Son of God. We do this to remember the blood that atoned for our sin, the blood that was our remission. If our faith is in anything other than Christ, our faith is in the wrong place. It needs to be squarely in the Son of God. And when we do this, we're doing it to remember what Jesus has done for me, for you, for us. We're doing it to remember and to celebrate what God afforded us, an opportunity to be His children, an opportunity to have a relationship with Him through His Son. It's the only way. It's the only way. This is not a denominational thing. This is a Jesus thing. Come to the Father through faith in the Son. And when we do this, He said, "This do in remembrance of me." That's why we do it. To remember the blood, to remember the Son, to remember the sacrifice, to remember the love of the Father that brought Jesus clear to the cross. To remember that. And so as we prepare for communion, we'll take a moment of silent prayer. And perhaps our prayers need to be, "Father, forgive me, I've sinned against you. I need Christ as Lord and Savior of my life." Perhaps that's where we need to start. Wherever it is, only you and God knows. But if your faith is in anything besides Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you're surrendered, I'm willing to follow you anywhere, faith is in anything else, it's in the wrong place. It needs to be in Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Gracious and eternal God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for providing for us. Not only have you provided your Son to pave the way to you, but you provide to us your Spirit, your Comforter, your Encourager. And I just pray again, Heavenly Father, that you would help each of us to trust your Son so completely, surrender to Him so fully, and allow your Spirit to lead us, that we would be not only your children, but we would be salt and light in our communities for you. And so will you go with us this day, Father, comforting, encouraging, guiding, instructing, forgiving, and helping us along life's pathway, helping us closer and closer to you, O God, through faith in your Son, closer each passing day. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.